The previous winter had been brutal. Half the townspeople had died. Some days, the men only had one grain of corn to eat. The dead had to be buried at night so the enemies would not see and be emboldened to attack. Of 18 married women who had arrived last fall, only 5 survived till the next fall. A drought had overtaken the land during the growing season. In response, these people prayed and fasted. History records that while they were praying and fasting, rain came and eventually produced a good crop. Probably around the last of September or the first part of October, 1621, around the time of the Feast of Tabernacles, the pilgrims celebrated a 3-day feast with neighboring indigenous people. In all this, our best understanding is that the people of Plymouth Colony did not complain, but rather praised and thanked God through all their travails unto the joyful Thanksgiving feast. It was right and good for the pilgrims to thank God for his blessings, the harvest, and the freedom to worship God. And it is right and good for us today to also remember to thank God for our many blessings, especially since our situation now is so much better than that of those who survived the year 1621 in Plymouth, Massachusetts. Today I want to cover 4 main points. Number 1, national days of Thanksgiving are biblical. Number 2, giving thanks is a fundamental part of worshiping God. Number 3, ingratitude is a sin. And 4, giving thanks and expressing gratitude gives us joy. So are national days of Thanksgiving biblical? Short answer is yes. Why do I even have to bring it up? Because some people in the past have thought, well, Thanksgiving, well, maybe that's connected to like pagan harvest festivals or something from Rome or something like that. The answer is that the people who had these Thanksgiving celebrations, they had various reasons for giving them. But mostly, they wanted to give thanks to God for preserving them, helping them, defending them, and giving them food to eat. And this is always good. This is always good. Turn with me to John chapter 10. Is there any evidence in the Bible that Jesus observed a national day of Thanksgiving? And yes, the answer is yes. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And I'll just read starting in verse 22. Now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. And the Jews surrounded him and said, well, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you're the Christ, tell us plainly. Why was Jesus there? This was called the Feast of Hanukkah, or the Feast of Dedication, or the Feast of Lights. If you know the history, the Jews had fought a 7-year war to take back Jerusalem from the armies of Antiochus Epiphanes in about 164 BC. You can read more about that in the book of Maccabees. And the Jews, they had fought and fought and fought, and they finally were able to take the temple, but there was a problem. They didn't have enough oil to keep the candelabra alight. But they started it anyway as a matter of faith. And as the way I understand the story goes, the flame burned 8 days until they were able to bring more oil. They only had enough oil for one day. So it was a miracle. It was a miracle. And it was a day of liberation from the pagan armies. And people gave thanks, and they remembered that. And Jews to this day still celebrate Hanukkah. The Jews were thanking God, as I said, for deliverance from foreign oppression. It reminded themselves of their freedom from oppression and the opportunity to worship God in a rededicated temple. Our Lord and Savior was there, and I think it's pretty clear that he was also observing Hanukkah. Let's go back to Esther chapter 9. Esther chapter 9. Esther, Nehemiah, Ezra, right after 2 Chronicles. No, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. It's in there somewhere. Yes, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. So Esther chapter 9, I think you know the story. The Jews were in exile, and there was this man, Haman, and he wanted to kill all the Jews. And as best as we can tell, it was because Mordecai, the Jew, wouldn't bow down and show obeisance. And it was probably also because Haman wanted to have an excuse to kill a lot of people and get a lot of money. And then he would give the king some and he'd keep a lot. So there's various reasons why Haman wanted to do this. But the story goes that Mordecai told Esther, the queen, we need help. We need help. And she was like, afraid, well, you know, I haven't been called into the king for like 30 days. And if I go there and he doesn't hand out his scepter, I'll die. And Mordecai said, don't think, he told this to Esther, don't think in your heart that you will escape the king's palace in the king's palace any more than the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? A wonderful challenge and a thought for all of us today. Who knows if God has called you for such a time as we're living in, and God has something special for you to do. So she fasted and prayed, and she asked for fasting and prayers, and God delivered them. And it's a fascinating story. We tell it really has a lot of humorous aspects to it. But after the deliverance, we read about Esther chapter 9, verse 18. The Jews who were in Shushan assembled together on the 13th day as well as the 14th day, and on the 15th of the month they rested and made a day of feasting and gladness. Therefore the Jews of the villages who dwelt in the unwalled town celebrated the 14th day of the month of Adar with gladness and feasting as a holiday, sending presents to one another. Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters to all the Jews near and far who were in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus to establish among them that they should celebrate yearly the 14th and 15th days of the month of Adar as the days on which the Jews had rest from their enemies, as the month which was turned from sorrow to joy and from mourning to holiday. They should make them days of feasting and joy, sending presents to one another and gifts to the poor. So the Jews accepted that custom. In verse 27, the Jews established and imposed it upon themselves and their descendants and all who would join them, that without fail they should celebrate these 2 days every year according to the written instructions. And so the Jews to this day, they celebrate Purim in the springtime. And again, it's a day of thanksgiving to remember and commemorate deliverance from destruction. Now, I should say that we are not ethnically Jewish, and so non-Jews are not required to observe these days because they're Jewish national days. They don't have pagan origins. Christ clearly kept Hanukkah, and it's interesting, you know, I've known ethnically Jewish people in the Church of God, and they feel that based on this, that they should keep Hanukkah in some way, shape, or form. Now, I don't know exactly how they do that, but again, it's not something that the Church of God as a whole does because these are Jewish national days. National days of thanksgiving, remembrance per se, are admitted. And so our national day of thanksgiving is appropriate to thank God for the multiple blessings we have. And also, for that matter, July 4th, you know, our national day, when we decided that we really wanted to tax ourselves more because the British weren't taxing us enough, so we became independent. That's sort of a joke. Yeah, no one laughs about that. So is it part of God's will that we be thankful? Sometimes, you know, we read in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, the model prayer says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And you pray that, right? You pray, thy will be done. Well, often we may not be sure what God's will is on various things at various times. However, the Bible does give us some clear indications of the will of God sometimes. And one such clear indication is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. I'll start in verse 16. It says, rejoice always. So let's have a good attitude and be positive and seek the positive, rejoicing always. Pray without ceasing. I remember, you know, this was a revelation to me. I grew up in a mainstream Protestant church. I thought you could only pray in churches. And so when it actually came to my attention that I could pray anywhere, even when I was walking, and, you know, it really was something new to me. And you can pray anytime, day or night. And there's examples in the Bible where people had on short notice, you know, Nehemiah, you know, he was at the king's, you know, court, and the king, what do you want to do? And he prayed to God, what should I say? What should I do? And God answered. So we should have that concept. We can pray without ceasing. And then it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So this is very clear. It says, this is the will of God for us. In everything give thanks. Well, I was skeptical. I said, everything? Really? So I had to look it up. I looked up the Greek word. The Greek word is panti. And yeah, it does mean everything. The verse sounds like a positive command. But upon reflection, if we give thanks to God, no matter what happens, what are we doing? Aren't we expressing faith in God that He's in charge and that He will make things work out for good for us in the end? I think we are. Remember Romans 8:28, memory verse, all things work together for the good to them who love the Lord, them who are the called according to His purpose. Well, I think about that. I've claimed that promise a lot. It says, all things work together. And of course, I put it eventually because it doesn't happen the microsecond, you know, that something bad happens. But all things eventually will work together for good. Who? To them who love the Lord. Who are those who love the Lord? Those who obey His commandments. The Bible clearly says that. If you love the Lord, you will obey His commandments. Ten commandments. They're not onerous. They're not burdensome. And brethren, we are the called. We are called because you can't argue someone into doing the kind of things that we do. We're a small group. We'll always be a small group. I mean, just the fact that we keep the seventh-day Sabbath, you know, 95% of Christianity says, well, you guys are trying to earn your salvation. Well, no, we're not. We're just doing what Jesus did. Well, you know, and they give all sorts of, you know, problems to us, but God has called us. He's opened our minds. It is a miracle for each one of us. So it's fantastic. And so we do express faith in God. So when we give thanks in everything, we're showing faith that no matter what happens, God's in charge. He's going to make it good. Make it good for each one of us in the end. So that's God's clearly expressed will in the Bible. The second main point, giving thanks is a fundamental part of worshiping God. We should remember that there's a difference between being thankful, which is an attitude, and giving thanks, which is the outward expression of an inner attitude. Being thankful is good, but I think the action of expressing thanks is even better. We can worship God in different ways, including in song, praise, prayer, and conduct. Let's go to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. We sang one of our songs, and the opening set was from Psalm 100. Psalm 100 and verse 1. It's a psalm of thanksgiving. So the little subscription there, psalm of thanksgiving. It says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. That's one great reason why we open services with song. We come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. So we're supposed to serve the Lord with gladness and come before His presence with singing. Why? Because we're thankful that He is our God and we are His people. He's chosen us. We have the Creator God of the universe as our Father and our elder brother, Jesus Christ. And so we can rejoice with that. We can come before His presence with singing and be glad. So we're thankful for that. Going on, verse 4. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. So we're supposed to be thanking God as we come before His presence in services every Sabbath day. And enter into His courts with praise. And that word is tefillah. Hebrew word tefillah means a prayer song of praise. Come into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. Why? Why should we be thankful? For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. You've heard me explain. There's another verse in the Psalms that says that, you know, there is forgiveness with the Lord, therefore he is to be feared. And I've often explained, well, why? Well, it's because in this universe, the natural laws that God set up, they require what? Each action requires an equal and opposite reaction. Everything balances out. So if you do it from a spiritual standpoint, every sin we commit requires a commensurate punishment. But God is the one who made these laws, and he also, in his love and wisdom, worked out a system where he can have a substitutionary sacrifice. And that sacrifice was Jesus Christ that paid the penalty for all the times that we mess up. And so he is to be feared. He has the power to make these laws, enforce them, and even suspend them if he requires it. So we fear him, but we thank him, we worship him. And his mercy is everlasting for us. His truth endures to all generations. What's that truth? One of the great truths is that his plan, his purpose is for all generations and for all mankind. God wants every human being to be given a chance to know Jesus Christ and have an opportunity to be part of the family of God. We're just the first fruits. We're just the advance guard, okay, the pioneers, as it were. But we can be thankful that God is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth and his plan and his purpose for all mankind, including us, endures to all generations. Let's go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Giving thanks is a fundamental part of worshiping God. In James chapter 1, verse 17, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. So our God is the Father of lights. And just as an aside, you know, we're coming up to Christmas time, right? And Santa Claus is a counterfeit of God and Jesus Christ. You can make a whole list. You know, just think about it. You know, where does God sit? He sits in the sides of the north. Where does Santa Claus come from? North Pole. You look at Santa Claus. He's this old guy. Well, isn't God the Ancient of Days? Santa Claus, he has this curly white hair. You look in Revelation. God has curly white hair. You know, Santa Claus has a movable sleigh. Ezekiel says God has a movable throne. You just start going down the line. You know, who knows who's been naughty and nice? Well, they say Santa Claus does, but really it's God does, right? And who's the giver of every good and perfect gift? Well, Santa Claus isn't the one who gives you every good and perfect gift. It's God does. So you just start going down the line. Santa Claus is a counterfeit of God. But we can be thankful to our God because every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. Verse 18, of his own will. Okay, notice that again. What's the will of God? We pray thy will be done. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So he's bringing us forth by the word of truth. He's given us understanding, basic, objective, reality, truth that the world just can't quite see yet because they've been blinded by the devil. So we should express thanks and praise to God that his will includes us in his marvelous plan and family as his first fruits, plus all the gifts that he gives us. Let's go back to 1 Chronicles 29 now. 1 Chronicles 29. As I said, giving thanks is a fundamental part of worshiping God. In 1 Chronicles 29, it's the story of King David. He was getting together all the things that were needed to build the temple. And God told him, no, you can't build the temple, David, because you're a man of war. You shed too much blood. But your son, Solomon, a man of peace, he can build it. And so David said, your will be done. And so he asked the people to give. And David said, up further in chapter 29, of my own special treasure I gave gold and silver, 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, 7,000 talents of silver. And there are all sorts of things that were given and brought together. The people rejoiced, verse 9, for they had offered willingly. We heard that in the sermonette. They offered willingly because with a loyal heart, they had offered willingly to the Lord. And King David also rejoiced. So when we give to God. Verse 10, therefore, David blessed the Lord before all the assembly. And David said, blessed are you, Lord God, Yahweh God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Almost sounds like something you read about in the New Testament, right? Victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord. You are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you. You reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great, to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you. We thank you. For all these things, you are the magnificent God, the powerful God. It's in your hand to bless and to give and to encourage and to raise. And we praise your glorious name. That's just interesting. They were in the land. They were receiving blessings. But even so, David understood that wasn't the final gift that they were looking for. Look down at verse 15. David said, for we are aliens and pilgrims before you, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow and without hope. He knew he was looking for a kingdom, a city whose builder and maker is God, just like Abraham. So again, praise and acknowledging God as the giver of blessings is appropriate. David thanked God for allowing him to gather the materials needed to eventually build the temple of God, something that his son Solomon would do. So giving thanks is a fundamental part of praise and worshiping God. Now, the opposite, ingratitude, it's a sin. It's a sin. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I think intuitively we know that ingratitude's not good, and especially if you've been so blessed. So just a few verses on this. Romans chapter 1. And Paul, who was a prophet, he was talking about some conditions that were extant during our day and age. So Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Okay, so this gives the chapeau. And so then what follows is ungodliness and unrighteousness. And John says all unrighteousness is sin. So God's wrath revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. Wow, does that apply to us today? So many ways, so many ways. People suppress the truth in unrighteousness because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. God is invisible, but his works are manifest, aren't they not? You look at the heavens and the earth. You look at the natural laws that God created, and they work and they operate, and there's no reason why they should operate with mathematical precision, and they don't vary. I mean, it's just amazing. There had to be, philosophically speaking, religiously speaking, an uncaused first cause. Something had to bring about this universe, and that was God. And he's an intelligent creator because all the things we see shows an intelligence behind it. It's amazing. So these people, many of them who live today, they suppress the truth and unrighteousness because what may be known of God is manifest to them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful. Notice that? Not thankful. Not thankful that you have a universe that is you know, reliable. You can get up in the morning and gravity still works the same. Electromagnetism works the same. You flick on a light switch. Yeah, all those things operate by law. And they're not thankful. So lack of thankfulness is part and parcel of ungodliness and unrighteousness. These people were not thankful. They didn't glorify God. They became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. So unthankfulness and not giving glory to God leads to what? And drop down to verse 26. For this reason, I said verse 24. Therefore, God gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. So they start doing things that bring diseases upon themselves. They exchange the truth of God for the lie. What's the lie? The primordial lie is that you will not surely die. That's the first big lie. The devil foists it off on our parents. And most of the world today still thinks you have an immortal soul. They believe the lie. And they worship and serve the creature rather than the creator. So what's another thing that happens when you don't glorify God and you're not thankful? Verse 26, for this reason God gave them up to vile passions. And it's talking about things that we see a lot of in this society if you keep reading. And then verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind due to those things which are not fitting. And you start reading all the evil things that people do today in our society, the unsound-mindedness. It's really remarkable. Really remarkable. And yet it's interesting, verse 32, these people who do these evil things, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Wow. What an indictment. So being unthankful is called ungodliness and unrighteousness. We see that a lot in our day and age. People are envious and jealous. You've got something, give it to me. Why can't I have it? Why do you have more? 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Again, Paul, being a prophet, looked forward to our day and age. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 1, but know this, in the last days, perilous times will come, not just on the freeways, but in all sorts of ways. Perilous times have come. For men will be lovers of themselves, yes, they are. Lovers of money, yes, they are. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. It's a sign of the times. In spite of all we have, people are still unthankful. And you just keep going on. All the things that happen in this day and age. Having a form of godliness but denying the power, from such people turn away. If someone, you're around someone who's not thankful, but who's jealous and envious, always trying to find something negative about other people, get away from those people. They will bring you down if you let them. If we are habitually around unthankful people, it will rub off on us. So choose your friends carefully. Remember, ingratitude is a sin. And fourthly, giving thanks and expressing gratitude gives us joy. Gives us joy. In the Bible, giving thanks and joy often go hand in hand. Just want to turn to one verse, Psalm 9. Psalm 9. Psalm 9. And I'll read it from the New King James and then a few other translations as well. Psalm 9, verse 1. New King James. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all of your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. So the English Standard Version renders this, verse 1, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all your wondrous deeds. When you start recounting all the things that God has done for us, we can give thanks, and we should give thanks. The Amplified Bible says this, I will give thanks and praise the Lord with all my heart. I will tell aloud all your wonders and marvelous deeds. It's good to think about the universe, the stars at night. It's good to think about the things God has done for us personally. I know one man has had a lot of troubles recently, and sickness with a close relative, and he's had trouble gaining a lot of weight, so many issues. But when I talk with him, he always tries to come back and say, you know, but I still have a clean bed with clean sheets at night. I live in a country where there's an abundance of food. I have a warm house in the winter, a cool house in the summer. He tries to recount thanks for things that we might just take for granted. And it helps him. It helps him deal with the challenges that he's facing in his house. Expressing thanks results in greater joy and gladness. Now, modern psychologists, they've also documented the good effects that expressing gratitude and thankfulness have on human beings. Did you know that? A fellow named Mr. Cy Blackburn, who started Coach Foundation, he listed 102 gratitude statistics in an October 2023 online presentation accompanied by the source for the information. And I have several handouts, which I'll put there on the, it's where the coffee is. If it's just one-page handout, if you'd like. Let me just read some of these. I mean, the online report, like I said, had 102 statistics, but it concerned things like employees, workplace situations, gratitude, aspects of life, gratitude in having a better life. Some of the interesting points I'd like to recount to you now. Gratitude enhances productivity. According to Glassdoor's Team 2019 survey, 81% or 4 in every 5 employees feel more motivated to work harder when they feel that their work is appreciated by their boss and or their employers. I know I tried to express appreciation for my employees when I was in Jordan and I was the chief of the section. You give people, say, yeah, I appreciate what you're doing. You acknowledge what they do, you know what they do, and they respond well. So it increases productivity. So that's good. Did you know grateful people sleep better? Boy. You know, I've started counting my blessings. It's better than counting sheep. I mean, there's only so many things I can be thankful for. Writing in a personal gratitude journal improves sleep, according to a 2011 study published in Applied Psychology, Health and Well-Being. Grateful people sleep better. I use Relaxium sometimes, but still, grateful people sleep better. Gratitude improves self-esteem. A 2014 study published in the Journal of Applied Sports Psychology found that gratitude increased athletes' self-esteem, which is an essential component to optimal performance. Gratitude improves physical health. Grateful people experience fewer aches and pains, and they report feeling healthier than other people, according to a 2012 study published in Personality and Individual Differences. Not surprisingly, grateful people are also more likely to take care of their own health. Gratitude makes us happier. A 5-minute personal daily gratitude journal can increase your long-term well-being by more than 10%. Now, I don't know how they measure this, but it's what it says. They said this is the same impact as doubling your income. Okay, that's interesting. Depression. Scientists studying positive psychology found that a one-time act of thoughtful gratitude produced an immediate 10% increase in happiness and a 35% reduction in depressive symptoms. Again, how do they measure this? I don't know. But they study this stuff. So just one act of thoughtful gratitude has an immediate result. It makes you happier, and you have a reduction in depressive symptoms. Now, they said the happy effects disappeared within 3 to 6 months, which showed that expressing gratitude is an act that needs to be repeated again and again. Okay. Gratitude makes us feel good. Surprise, surprise. Gratitude actually feels good. According to gratitude researcher Robert Emmons, gratitude is just happiness that we recognize after the fact to have been caused by the kindness of others. Happiness or gratitude is just happiness that we recognize after the fact to have been caused by the kindness of others. So gratitude doesn't just make us happier, it is happiness in and of itself. So let's summarize. We have seen that national days of thanksgiving and remembrance are biblical. Jesus observed a Jewish national day of thanksgiving called Hanukkah. It is part of the clearly expressed will of God in the Scriptures for us to be thankful in everything. Yes, everything. We have seen that thankfulness and expressing gratitude is a fundamental part of worshiping God. We have seen that unthankfulness or ingratitude is considered unrighteous and a symptom of the last days before Jesus returns. We have seen many great effects of gratitude and thankfulness, which I hope will motivate all of us to redouble our efforts to express gratitude and be thankful to God and to others around us. The Plymouth Colony Pilgrims faced great adversity, but overcame with the use and practice of giving thanks and expressing gratitude and praise to God. As we observe our National Day of Thanksgiving soon, let us also remember that all good things come from God, and let us express our thanks to Him in praise and prayer.